Let's get into the NHL story with our insider. Hello, Elliot. How are things?
Good. How are things out in Calgary?
Well, good.
Three in a row.
Good right now.
They're on the road. We're happy, Elliot.
Yes. Don't come home. Don't come back.
It's miserable here. It's cold and snowy.
Yes, it's miserable here, too. So at least we're partners in misery together.
Have you ever had a conversation with someone in your travels over the years that might be able to explain or decipher why this team has performed so well? And they don't get rattled. It's straight ahead. It's straightforward. It's nothing overly flashy. But yet at home, they have such a hard time.
You know, I have had that conversation. I remember Pat Quinn used to believe that the Maple Leafs were tried to be, we used to say, we always tried to score the perfect goal at home. And we didn't try that on the road. He used to have that theory. You know, like, it's funny. I've had coaches and players tell me before that if you have too many single guys at home, it's bad. I've had coaches and players tell me before if you have too many single guys at home, it's good. Because either A, if it's bad, it's because they're going out too much. Or if it's good, it's because, you know, they don't have families, so they're not bothered by anything. Like we've heard a ton of different theories before. You know, the one thing I could see is, you know, you guys have some pretty excitable guys. I think sometimes when you get the crowd behind you, it can rally up, and you're not yourself. And when you're on the road and you don't have the crowd cheering for you, you relax a bit more. You play within yourself a bit more. I mean, there's all these theories. I don't know if any of them are actually true, but believe me, you get a lot of theories.
Wives aren't screaming at you. Kids aren't crying.
I don't know if you heard.
You got a good home life, Rhett.
Yeah.
How's the home front?
Let me ask you, what did you make or what did you think of the Rangers and the letter to fans that they sent out yesterday? In essence, saying, prepare to see some familiar faces leave by way of trade, but we're working towards something bigger and better.
I don't understand why more teams don't do that. I really don't. It bought them time. Like, you know, like their fans, like I was watching Twitter yesterday after they did that. You know how Twitter is. Like, Twitter is not a great indicator of the world. You get a lot of sarcasm. You get a lot of people who are really brave behind a keyboard. The Ranger fans yesterday, they loved it. They really appreciated it. They were like, all right, now we kind of, because, you know, like, Some of us had been thinking it, and we've been reporting it, and we've talked about it on this station. And, you know, but it's different when you got some rumor monger like myself, as opposed to the team coming out and saying, yes, this is what we are going to do. And I think the fans appreciate it. It buys you time. Like, fans, at the end of the day, what they want is, are you listening to us? Do we feel that our grievances or our opinion is being heard? Do we feel like we matter? And the Rangers yesterday showed that their fans matter because they gave them a clear indication of what's going on. And you know what? I think what it does is it buys them time. Those fans were yesterday were like, all right, okay, I get it. And that's all you can do. Now we're going to start getting letters from every team that does this. I started laughing about it, but I thought it was good.
Also, might lend you to think that they've gotten some offers on guys like Rick Nash that they feel are probably good enough that they will be making a deal?
Yes. There's no question Nash is going, and there's no question there's a lot of interest. I don't know if they're anywhere close, but what I do think is I think that they have – that they know who's interested, and they kind of are shaping the market a bit. So, yes, there's no question Nash is getting traded. It's the only question is when.
Beyond he and Grabner, who else could the Blue Shirts move?
Holden. You know, someone's going to look for defensive depth, and I think Holden will go. He's a UFA. You know, I got to tell you, I mean, McDonough, I heard the price is high, and I'm not surprised at that. I think there's a few teams in there. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa was there. Boston is another team. If they wanted to, they could do it. I don't know if Boston's going to want to pay the price, but you know, don't forget you get 2 years out of McDonough. He's got another year. And the Rangers are willing to eat money to make it a bit better. So I could see, if Boston wants to do it, they could probably do it. And, you know, Zuccarello's another guy. He's a good player who's played well in the playoffs before. The one thing that really fascinates me about the Rangers guys is, A, how many of them that they trade, are they coming back next year? You know, Nash and Grabner, there's been some rumors about it. You know, there's Kovalchuk. He tried to come back this year. They couldn't work out a deal with the Devils. And now he's an unrestricted free agent. You know, like, it could be interesting to see how the Rangers finish this year and what they look like next year. And the other one is Vigneault. That's an interesting story. Like, Larry Brooks was the first guy to report it this week, and you know he's connected to the Rangers. You know he knows what's going on. And I found it really interesting that that story got out this week, because it says to me that they are legitimately thinking about whether or not Vigneault is going to be the right coach for the team.
Boy, that's interesting. That's a respected guy. I mean, he's had success pretty much everywhere he's gone. He'd be a hot candidate, would he not?
Well, you got to think about this. In the offseason, like, there's been no coaching changes this year. Like, we haven't seen that in 50 years to this point. And in the summer, you know, you're going to have Tippett. You're going to have Vigneault if he gets let go. But the big one is, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, what's Quenneville's situation going to be? Like, there are going to be some nervous coaches this summer, especially if two of those guys are on the market. But imagine it's three. There's going to be some nervous coaches in this league.
Well, we saw the Flames twice against Chicago, and that specifically that game where they beat them in Chicago, that was as defeated as I've seen the Hawks in this incarnation.
And then they've gone on to lose again.
And then they lost again last night. Yeah, like watching Taves be that frustrated and defeated.
And it was the difference. Like, Taves used to look, he'd be mad if he didn't score or they didn't win, but it was more of a
determination
kind of thing. This just looks like frustration, and they look lost. Kane doesn't look as engaged as he, I mean, it just looks like a different Blackhawks team. It's weird.
You know, it's funny. Last year, the Blackhawks came into Toronto, and I went around to some of those guys, like the young guys, like Schmaltz, Hartman, Tanner Kiro was on the team at that time. And I asked them, you know, what is it like here? And they said, it doesn't matter how much we're losing. We could be down 2 goals with 5 minutes left, and those guys think they're going to win. That's gone. That is gone. And, you know, actually, Nashville was in Toronto this week, and they talked about that they believe now that no matter how badly they're losing, they can come back. But Chicago was that team, and you're right, guys, the aura is gone. And, you know, the Saad thing is really strange. You know, he's basically a third, fourth liner now. You know, I said this week I wonder if they'd move him. I had a couple guys reach out to me and say, you know, this is another potential Bowman-Quenneville issue, and they can't see Bowman wanting to trade him after he just traded Panarin for him. But it's clear that there's some real fissures in that organization. And, you know, the biggest thing is they might have to deal one of their core guys this year. And just to break it up or start anew, I'm really curious to see what they could do there.
Core being Kane, Taves, Keith Crawford?
I can't see Kane getting traded. No. I just can't see it. But I don't know, like, who are we talking about here? Seabrook? Yeah, like,
good luck.
How do you trade Seabrook?
Well, you know, you have to sweeten it. But you know what? I'll tell you this. Like, I do think, you know, it's fine. Like, you talk about Gudbranson, okay? And the Vancouver fans, they rip on Gudbranson. They're merciless on him. And, you know, I get guys who tell me if you get Gudbranson on a better team, he's going to look better. And I wonder, is there anybody who feels the same way about Seabrook? Now, the difference is Gudbranson's an unrestricted free agent and Seabrook has some pretty significant term. But I think the one thing we've learned in this league is you can make a deal if you're willing to be creative. And you can't tell me that there's people that no one's – if you call someone and you say, I'm interested in dealing Brent Seabrook, they're going to be people who are going to say, all right, but what are we talking about here? Like, there's going to be people who see value in it. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be Seabrook, but Like, I think you've got to, you know, I think, I'm sure in Chicago they're asking themselves right now, you know, we're locked in with a team that just isn't that good anymore. How do we get out of it? And sometimes you got to make pretty painful decisions.
Well, they should have made the painful decision before signing him.
They just want to come. Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? I remember when that, like, that story was pretty interesting. I got told at the draft that year that when they won the Stanley Cup, Seabrook was a year away from unrestricted free agency, and they were celebrating on the ice, and Stan Bowman went up to Seabrook and said, "You're not going anywhere. Like, you're a big part of this team, and I'm not," while they were celebrating. And, you know, when I asked him about it, he goes, "I don't think it was quite like that," but he laughed.
Yeah.
And it was so... It, like, if you take a look at it, guys, the heart, everybody says in hockey there's no loyalty or anything. You look at the Kings after they won their second cup and the Blackhawks after they won their second and third. You know what? It's you think, oh, you got to cut these guys, you got to move on. It's a hard thing to do.
Well, they also, sorry, Elliot, they also did it with Brian Bickle, right?
Yes, they did. They signed Bickle, and they eventually traded him. And yes, you know, like, but, you know, the thing is, like, in a vacuum, yes, you can let those guys go. But the toughest thing is when you're the guy in charge, and it's like, I'll tell you, like, there's an interview Nick Kiprios did with P.K. Subban that's airing tomorrow night. And Nick and P.K. taped it on Tuesday when he was in Toronto. And P.K., the most interesting thing that P.K. said that I saw is, you know, if you're going to be run the team in Montreal, you got to be tough, because he says the fans and the media, they absolutely do have an impact on how the team gets run. And, you know, he's right. He's 1,000% right. Like, the toughest, you know what a manager has to be? The number one thing that you have to be is have a thick skin. Because, you know, Benning has talked about how the toll the job has taken on his family. There's another GM in the league who I've heard through people that he is concerned about the job and the toll it's taken on his wife and kids. Like, you have to be willing to make difficult decisions that are going to get you in trouble. And if Stan Bowman had walked away from Seabrook, you know what? The same thing might have happened. And then the media starts putting pressure on you, and the fans start putting pressure on you. The agent puts pressure on you. Seabrook's probably like, "I've done so much for the organization. I can't believe this is happening if they let him walk." It's hard. You have to be willing to be the bad guy. And there's not, in the social media age, guys, it used to be easy to be the bad guy, easier. You'd get a couple letters to the editors, maybe some angry sports radio callers. But now it's instant. It's all over the internet, and it's hard. And there's not a lot of people that can really handle it, I can tell you that.
That's probably why he's got 4 more years of a full no move. Like, if he doesn't want to leave Chicago, you can't do anything, can you?
Well, you know, Ryan, I don't believe no move clauses are worth the paper they're printed on. I think I think it's been completely proven that if two sides want to work out something, they can work out something. You just have to be adults about it, and it can happen.
And like Ottawa with Phaneuf.
Yeah, you know, but Ottawa's going to have to be willing to eat money, and that's not always an easy thing for the owner there.
What do you know about Ottawa right now? We know the Flames have been watching them closely for 2 to 3 weeks now, almost on a nightly basis.
I think that's Zach Smith. I really do. I'm sure they probably looked at Hoffman. I'm sure they've looked at Pageau. I'm not convinced Ottawa's going to deal Pageau. I know Pittsburgh has been circling around him. He's a really good player. He'd be outstanding in Calgary. You know, Hoffman, some days I hear he's going to get traded. Some days I hear he isn't. You know, he does have some really good chemistry with Duchesne, and you got to make Duchesne work. So I waffle, and I think so do they, on whether or not Hoffman gets dealt. But Zach Smith, you know, you guys are still looking for a third-line center. You know, Zach Smith could be perfect in that role for you. Western guy, you know, you've got the heavier conference. You know, I could see it working. You know, the tough thing is, where you guys are, is that you know, Ottawa is looking for futures, and you've dealt a lot of your draft picks. So who are your futures? You know, I wrote this week, I heard everybody's asking you guys about Valimaki, and you guys really have no interest in doing that. And so who's the next guy they're going to ask for? Anderson? And I'm sure you guys have no interest in doing that either. So, you know, I think it's my question is, what's Calgary's deal? If you're going to trade for a guy and the team wants futures, where are we going? And I think that's the biggest question I kind of have.
Boy, there's a ton of term left on Smith's deal.
There is, but it's not unmanageable.
And he's from Maple Creek, home of Vic Vassar.
Well, then that's just a bonus. Do you get salary cap relief with that?
Rhett brings absolutely nothing to these conversations.
Thank, I don't know. I kind of laughed at that.
Thank you for the Maple Creek.
Yeah, he's from Maple Creek.
That's great. Yeah, no, that's perfect.
A lot of Cowboys.
Really.
Anything else you're hearing? Because, you know, you mentioned Boston.
Boston, are they legit? Pittsburgh?
We're going to be in Boston next week.
Boston's legit. I think they're surprised at how legit they are. But they're, I mean, Bergeron. It's like, is there a more unappreciated player in the league?
I don't know. Like, it depends who you follow on social media, I guess. All I see is, like, this guy is an absolute stud, and that line is the best in the league with Pasternak and Marchand. So I guess it depends
what
you're looking at.
They've been fantastic this year. The guy has 2 Olympic gold medals. He's got a World Junior gold medal. He's got a Stanley Cup. Is he tied the record for Selkies, or is the next one break it? Because he's going to win it this year in a landslide. And I don't think he gets the attention he deserves. The guy could go into the Hall of Fame his first year. You know, there's only one guy who's ever won the Hart and the Selke in the same year, and that's Sergei Fedorov in 94. There's only 2 guys who've won the Hart and the Selke in their careers. One is Fedorov and the other is Bob Clark. So, you know, Boston's right up, Tampa's behind now for number one overall in the league. You know, Bergeron might win both. You know, that would be quite a duo if he pulls that off.
It's interesting. And it's interesting to look, because we saw Vegas come through, and clearly they are a team that has some chemistry, and within the room they're, you know, that's a team. Boston looks like the same thing, which is no disrespect to Krejci and Bergeron and Pasternak and Marchand, because those are very good hockey players. But Adam McQuaid and Kevin Miller and Ryan Spooner and Jake DeBrusque, like, they've all kind of come in and they're all making it work, because I agree with you. And Rask has had an unbelievable turnaround from a guy that sounded like he was trade bait, has been one of the best in the league.
Yeah, he has been. But you know what? Like, I think the biggest impact has been McAvoy. Mm-hmm. I think he's made Chara better. Like, Chara looks refreshed and renewed. And it's a lot of it's because McAvoy can carry the puck and make life easier on him. I think the Bruins really believe they were a year away. I think they really felt they had good players, but they thought they were a year away. I think they're pleasantly surprised at where they are. But, you know, I was saying this in my hit in Toronto today. You look at the Bruins. They got nothing to show for the Joe Thornton trade, and they came back and they won a Stanley Cup. They don't have anything to show for the Tyler Seguin deal, and now they're coming back again. And everybody makes fun of them for that draft where they had the 3 picks in a row, and they didn't take Barzal, and they didn't take Kyle Connor. But they did take DeBrusque, and Zboril, who's still in the minors, looks like he's going to be a player. But, you know, like, they still found McAvoy. They found Heinen in the 4th round. Like, they've had some situations here where people look at them and say, what the hell are you guys doing? And they're still good. Like, they find players, and I think it's I think it's pretty amazing when you look at some of the decisions that that organization's made and some of the heat they've taken for them. There, and they gave a shot to Bruce Cassidy, which not a lot. Remember when Bruce Cassidy was fired? People were like, this guy will never be in the league again.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the job he's done. It's pretty amazing.
You mentioned Chara. We talk about the pitfalls of July 1 all the time. Is that like the best July 1 signing in recent memory? I mean, he's done the contract this year, and they might bring him back, and he's been valued. They won a cup.
Most people, Ryan, think that one's the best ever.
Yeah, I can't think of another one.
What's even in the conversation? I mean, I was looking at the 2016 class, and it's 6 guys get $30 million. They're all busts. All 6 of them.
Yeah.
Well, look, like Brendan Smith. Brendan Smith got put on waivers yesterday. He just signed. You know, Stamkos staying in Tampa, I don't know if that counts, but that could be one. It'll be interesting. Like, if Tavares gets to July 1 and signs somewhere, he'll put himself in the conversation. But, you know, Chara was, and, you know, I got to tell you, like, Zdeno Chara has always maintained that Ottawa never made him an offer. And the other thing about it was that Eugene Melnyk always blamed Peter Chiarelli for that. You know, he felt that Chiarelli, because remember, Chiarelli was in Ottawa and he left to go to Boston, and he signed Chara for Boston, although I'm forgetting the timeline a little bit. But Melnyk always felt that Chiarelli, like, blindsided him. And I don't know if that's true. Like, I doubt it. I mean, I'm sure Ottawa knew exactly that if Peter Chiarelli would go somewhere else, that he was going to try to sign Zdeno Chara. But Chara has always maintained that Ottawa never gave him an offer. So it's just weird, but I would say he's probably the best ever.
Before we let you go, anything else newsworthy as we head into the weekend that you're watching?
I just have a feeling that there's going to be one big deal that comes that we didn't see coming. The guys tell me there's just a lot being talked about out there. Like, there are a lot. Right now, there are more buyers than there are sellers. There are more sellers than there are buyers. And, you know, guys are just telling me there's a lot of names out there. And sometimes you can't tell if people are serious, and sometimes you can't tell if they're just testing. But, you know, they said that, you know, sometimes it's a lot of talk, no action. There's some teams out there, GMs out there, like, I don't know what to make of the fact that this guy's name has come up. So it's going to be interesting.
Thank you, Elliot. Have a great week, buddy.
All right, guys, you too. Enjoy the early games. You know, you can go to big and watch hockey and go to bed early.
Loving it. Thanks. Yes.
All right. Take care.